Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero. In the studio with me is JP Ong, finance presenter. And on the phone is Jeff Howie, strategic market analyst from the SGX. Speaking of the SGX, let's see. When it closed yesterday, it had crossed 2,500.
Well, it settled exactly at 2,500.
Well, it's not there anymore.
Yeah, but again, today, this is a very modest slip for the Straits Times Index. We're just down by about 3 points. But again, you're right. We are below that 2,500 level that we watched. 2,497 is where these local benchmarks sits, and a little, just over half a billion Singapore dollars in total value turnover. So pretty normalized trading activity and normal appetites out there. Almost dead even between winners and losers today. There's 164 stocks, REITs, and trusts in the green, just three more than the 161 losers on the Straits Times in on the entire SGX today. So a bit, it feels like a normal day for markets for the most part, except that we have slid below that 2,500 mark. We compare that to how the rest of the region is doing, and it's fairly mixed as we head into the weekend. The Nikkei 225 today is trading about 31 points higher. There are concerns, though, that if we start to see more dollar softness moving forward, that the Japanese yen could be in danger of falling below that 100 to a, or strengthening to a below 100 to the greenback. And then, as we know, that generally weighs on Japanese equity markets whenever you see yen strength. So something for Japanese markets to watch out for in the future. The ASX 200 is recovering after a couple of days in the red, also up by about 31.5 points today. Nothing really to write home about, but they are in the green. So that's got to count for something. Well, actually, now it's actually turned red. Now it's down by about 1.5 points. So fairly flat, actually, for the ASX 200. And again, as I reiterate, nothing to write home about. The KOSPI also looking fairly sheepish, down by just 1 point in today's session. The Taiwan-weighted stock exchange flat at 12,872 points. Out in mainland China, we're seeing slight gains also, but very cautious. The Shenzhen Bourse is practically flat, just up by 3.9 points. And the Shanghai Composite also trading about 22 points in the green, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong is up by about 52 points as we head into the afternoon session. So mostly, perhaps it's just a lot of traders taking stock of those of all those monetary policy decisions that we just came off of just in the last 24 hours. The Fed, the Bank of Japan, the Bank of England, also Bank Indonesia, all saying that all leaving policy decisions unchanged, but we didn't get additional stimulus from the Fed, and we are still continuing to wait, or markets continue to wait for whether or not there is a progress with regards to that fiscal stimulus package in the U.S. So a lot of things to really take stock of, but I think because the Fed didn't really indicate that they were going to add or expand stimulus measures at the moment, I think you're seeing markets just reacting a little bit to it. No one's really making drastic moves, as you can see, but definitely it's a time for contemplation, I think, for markets, especially given that we've seen some wobbliness coming from the tech sector in the U.S. that's been feeding into markets out here in Asia also. Generally, a 3-point decline for the STI isn't really something to write home about. But again, we are still showing shades of red today and slightly down.
Jeff, I took a peek. I was off yesterday, but I took a peek at basically all the indices around the world. And it was pretty much a sea of red with maybe three or four exceptions. Mm-hmm. Is everybody being contemplative then, as JP just said?
Well, no, it is, but it is smooth sailing. I mean, as you said, it's 3 points below 2,500 at the moment. It's probably up 7 points about that from when we opened on Monday morning. So, and a little bit of range. You know, we were up as high as 2,515 on Thursday morning. So there's been a little bit of variability offering tradability, but everything is smooth sailing. As you said, the US dollar aside from the yen, because of obviously the political transition in Japan's, I would say more of a cause of that than anything in the US, because you've got smooth sailing in the yields as well. And even though, as we always see, even though the indices appear flat, there's usually something behind the indices that's moving, you know, a little bit of moving and shaking. And we have seen a little bit. Jardine Matheson and Jardine Strategic, I think they're up around 2% and 6% respectively this week, and that makes up around 7% of the STI. But the REITs have been, up till this morning, the stronger STI segments. We've got 6 REITs in the STI now, so they make up, as of the last official weightings that were published publicly, around 13% of the STI. And, you know, that they basically, as I said, we're up around 25-15 on the STI on Thursday morning. The REITs continue to track higher through Thursday morning, through to, you know, basically to the close yesterday. But the we've consolidated a bit this morning because REITs came off quite a bit last night in the US, approximately twice the losses of the S&P 500. And that was after previously outpacing the S&P 500 this week. So we've seen a bit of an extension to that in the Asian trading today. But I think you could put it down to a takeaway from that Fed Reserve press conference. Basically, the last question of the press conference, it was the reporter from Yahoo, the Fed chair, basically made it clear that the Fed Reserve will not be looking to have high inflation. They just want inflation to average 2%. So it means that in a downturn like now, inflation moves well below 2%. And it also means that they will conduct policy so that inflation moves only moderately above 2%, and the large overshoots, as the chair said, they won't be permanent, but just to help anchor inflation expectations at 2%. Now, globally, REITs are not just looked at as a safer, low volatile, high yield investment, but more so globally, that they're looked at as an investment that can provide a hedge against rising property prices. And hence, you know, since Jackson Hole and talking about allowing for some overshooting in inflation, it can thus create some demand for REITs. But I think Chairman Powell did somewhat taper the inflation expectations, particularly given the outlooks at this time that they published don't even have US inflation rate at or above 2% in the immediate future. So a little bit of tapering on the inflation expectations took away a little bit of the potential demand for REITs as a hedge against inflation, but nonetheless the policy move to target inflation at 2% is there, so there is still some demand per se. But look, for us, our IHS REIT Leaders Index has been still pretty strong. I think it's only down 2% now in the 2020 year to date. So there's been a strong element of resilience. And I think I'm going to shamelessly say, if anyone wants to hear more about that, tomorrow we've got a virtual REIT symposium, REITsymposium.com, with Share Investor and REITUS. And I think that goes pretty much all day.
You are shameless, Jeff.
I'm just shameless. I should also say Parkway Life REIT will also join the FTSE EPRA Nareit Global Developed Index effective the open on Monday. So that rebalance happens at the close today. Yes. So that's what I should actually be talking about.
Shameless but informative. I think everybody wants to get a better grasp of the REITs. I remember speaking to Sean Taylor, the CIO for the Asia-Pacific region for DWS last Thursday. And again, when we talked about Singapore, actually, he was one of a growing chorus of investment officers who actually said that, you know, we are actually liking the REIT space. We do believe that the worst is over, kind of what the DBS analyst did echo also. And the other thing also about what's making REITs very interesting is two things, right? One is the yields of some of the yields that they have at the moment, some of the distributions they have. When you have these low rate environments, it does sort of provide a little bit more oomph, I guess, for some investors. But the other thing too is that we have been talking about all these Chinese tech giants deciding to come to Singapore and perhaps open up what they call a beachhead. By the way, that's Howie Lim's favorite word now, beachhead. I've been talking about possibly expanding here. And again, analysts have pointed out that if they're going to expand, this could actually provide a little bit of a spark for some of these office REITs that have faced a lot of headwinds moving forward. So the REIT space is starting to brew. And as long as the recovery and the march towards phase three continues, I mean, you could see a steady but very sustained recovery for this particular space. But this symposium you guys have, Jeff, I mean, it'll be very interesting to see how you break down all these REITs, because as we've said time and time again, no two REITs are alike, right?
No, that's exactly right. Big difference between a data center REIT and a REIT that has cinemas.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jeff, I'm going to give you another opportunity to crow, maybe, potentially. Mm-hmm. The SGX right now is up 3.8%. I'm going to assume that this has to do with your announced listing of the world's largest Chinese ETF.
I think more to do with Goldman Sachs published a report last night, which basically was an upgrade on our stock, upgraded SGX to buy. That was actually Goldman Sachs.
Well, don't sound so sheepish about it. Tell people about it.
No, that's not what I'm going to do. I talk about everybody
else
stocks.
Except yourselves. All
yeah,
right.
we've got a team at SGX to talk about SGX. That's the investor relations job.
Jeff is not in the habit of patting himself on the back or his boss on the back. That's not the job.
No, my job is I've got to focus on everything else. And there is so much going on. And you saw even PropNex's announcement. While we're talking about exhibitions and conventions and virtual events, PropNex announced this week you saw the $7 million career enhancement package. Mm-hmm. There's so much going on in the moment. And as you know, you saw Top Glove report yesterday as well. And you saw the price come off, which I thought was really interesting because if you, JP, you probably covered the numbers already yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
yes.
We don't want to probably go over old ground. But what I will add is that it reported its FY20 net profit up more than 400%, right, year on year. It was up 412% year on year. Now, we had a sell-off yesterday because going into yesterday, the price return for Top Glove in the 2020 year to date was 470%. But right now, it's up 412%, the share price, which is exactly in line with their year-on-year, full-year 20 result. The net profit being up 412%. As of now, the share price is up 412% since the end of 2019. I should make that clear. It's not a 12-month period. But nonetheless, it's now a top 50 stock by turnover here on SGX in the year-to-date. I think that means more than five million dollars a day of shares changing hands, and that's obviously quite a lot more than the $50,000 a day changing hands throughout 2019.
And there's also that very interesting news that came out sometime yesterday evening about Top Glove. They provided another update that they're actually considering a potential IPO out in Hong Kong in the next 6 to 9 months. Mm, I don't know if this has something to do, but definitely they're definitely stirring the waters, aren't they, Jeff? Just trying to, there's a lot of developments around Top Glove, and really the name of the game for them now is how do we keep up with all of this demand that's been induced by the COVID-19 pandemic and the surge in need for PPEs.
Yeah, and being a global player has always been, since we've been working with them since 2016, being a global player, the big global player has always been in their sights. And I think now the sales orders, they've got 195 countries across the world that they are now distributing their gloves to. And the global glove demand, it was interesting, they said, 25% next year, but then looking at post-COVID demand, possibly 15% a year from then, because there'll obviously still be a big glove demand now going forward, going after what we've all been through this year.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of news this week from the big central banks around the world. Some big companies were announcing. What are we looking forward to next week?
Go ahead, Jeff.
There is a lot. There's going to be, as you said, central banks. There's a lot more to do. A lot more clarity will come out of the Fed Reserve next week. I think there's congressional testimonies. There's an event where we've got Chairman Powell and Steve Mnuchin talking at the same time. And of course, following our strong NODX numbers this week just gone, we've got industrial production numbers next week, right, JP?
That is correct. Our industrial production numbers should be due out next week Friday, and before that, on Wednesday, we've got consumer price index or inflation here in Singapore. Inflation is going to be something that would be very interesting to watch out for, because it seems to be on the minds of many of these central bankers. We did hear from the Federal Reserve that they're willing to tolerate inflation above their target range before they think about any possible rate hikes. Other things to really look out for moving forward, we've got the Bank of Thailand's decision, Thai trade figures also. We've also got a handful of interesting earnings reports from the U.S. We've got Nike reporting on Wednesday and also Costco on Friday.
Okay, that's something to keep an eye on, as well as the continued strength or weakness of the U.S. dollar?
Mm-hmm, I think so. And because there is no additional stimulus at the moment, I remember when there were questions about possible stimulus and providing ample liquidity. There was a couple of months ago, Jeff, and if you recall, like there was questions about possible liquidity that actually saw the U.S. dollar kind of strengthen a bit and also the gold come down a touch. I believe this was sometime between the first and the second quarter, actually. It was fairly short-lived, though, because the Fed was able to step in with stimulus measures. Now, they have provided a lot of liquidity over the last couple of months. I mean, to their credit, but we could that the fact that the taps might not be on for a while from the Federal Reserve. There is a valid question to ask as to whether or not this could lead to perhaps some near-term dollar strength and maybe even some weakness that could even sap gold. We've seen them actually, just see small bouts of weakness before because of that. But gold is up a touch today as well.
All right. See, more questions for us to ask for next week. Whoever said it was going to be easy on Market View. This has been Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero in the studio with JP Ong, finance presenter, and Jeff Howie from the SGX. I hope you have a fantastic weekend, gentlemen.
Thank you. You too, Clarissa.
Likewise.
This is Money FM 89.3. More still to come.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.